podcast time, you guys. We've got chats. We've got raves. That's a like a radio thing for when we just chat.
Well, yeah. It's kind of just like us raving on.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got phoners. That's like when people call in.
Yeah.
And they like answer questions.
That's right.
Yeah, beauty this morning, actually.
Yeah. What was this morning?
The
garage sale.
Some friendly tips from you, KC.
Well, look, there's a bit of everything.
That's not why they're here, though.
Well, there's also, I'd like to think it is.
Yeah, I would too, but I'm a realist.
But the chosen one, you want some clues, and here they are. The chosen one. Coffee lover, hello sunshine, shop local.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
you've
that was me.
Button,
yeah, no, that was me.
Yep. To be fair, you've been really onto that.
You have.
The rest of the week.
Thanks, guys, appreciate it. It's very kind.
Optus Stadium.
Yep. Hotmail.com.
Yep.
Another one, Pete, which I know is painful. We're the Eagles.
We're flying high. It hurts every
fat
time.
Fat bass line in that, isn't it?
It's fat. Yeah. It's
not fat at all. You know it's not. It's basically as if it's been done on a Casio keyboard.
How dare you.
There's no fat in that at all.
It's Tchaikovsky. Oh, and the last one. Hey.
What?
Hey.
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 Hey!
Bon appetito!
Bon appetito!
Hey, see! Hey. Pasta lasagna, ciao!
That was the clue. Bon appetito.
Throw them all together and give us a bell when you're here on the station to do so, and you could be, at this point in time, $15,000 richer if you are Mix 94.5's The Chosen One.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, more podcasts to come. Oh, by the way, Melissa from Maths, she's in it as well.
She joined us.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened. All right. Bye.
Bye.
This season of Maths has been the hottest ever. But despite the controversy, conflict, and rumours, our next guest is sticking with her man. Please welcome Melissa.
Yes, she is here.
She did it.
She did it. Trigger, we weren't confident. We weren't sure whether or not we'd get you, Melissa, because, you know, you've had plenty of other interviews on the way here. Can only imagine the sort of things that have been asked up until this point, but welcome to you, mate.
Oh, good morning, Pete, Matt, and Kimber. Yeah, it's been a wild ride all the way through the experiment and even up till today. So we're almost at the end.
Nearly. Now, Melissa, you know, you and Bryce have been the most talked about couple this season, but you do strike me as someone who prefers to be sort of under the radar and kind of keep to yourself. How have you been feeling about all the attention?
I'm not a fan of the attention. I'm very excited to go back to somewhat of a normal life and kind of fade away, but it's definitely been a lot more downs than ups, I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, it's lovely to hear your voice, Melissa, and, you know, we've watched with great interest and intrigue, and people have had commentary on your relationship with Bryce, and you've been labelled many things. I mean, I've heard you labelled a doormat. People have been genuinely concerned that you're in a relationship that is unhealthy and toxic, but we've never really heard from you, and I guess people don't know what's going on between two people. How are you? Are you okay? You know, that kind of thing.
I'm absolutely fine, guys. Trust me, I would not have stood for anything more than I deserved during the experiment. Mm-hmm. And what people keep saying about being in a awful domestic violence relationship, and it's just horrific. I would never take away from anyone that is going through something horrific like that. But we are really, really amazing. We're in a very healthy, loving relationship. And unfortunately, it doesn't appear that way, and that's just the way the show's put together. But we know the truth, and we hope that one day people will see us for what we really are.
We are. So there you go. Nice. I mean, it's obviously filmed months ago, so we're watching it back now and wondering if you guys are still together, and there it is. You guys are officially still together. We've got whispers that he's with you. Is Bryce with you at the moment?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's right here.
I'm here. Hello, guys.
Hey, Bryce.
There you go. Far out.
Yeah, he's got a gun to her back, guys. She's saying what she has to.
we're living together, so, yeah, we're around each other all the time now.
Okay. Has it been a morning for you? Because as I mentioned at the top of this, you know, we, being in Perth, sort of get you at the back end of the backlog of interviews that you guys would experience throughout the morning. Have you copped a fair bit this morning?
I've copped a bit, I think.
Oh, I think we kind of had a bit of a quiet night at the dinner party last night, and we're just getting a lot of questions about what happened on the weekend at a nightclub in Melbourne, but that's all sort of been put to bed.
What happened on a weekend at a nightclub in Melbourne?
Yeah, got coward attacked in a nightclub, basically. I got some teeth knocked out. Liz's sister ended up in hospital and Liz got shoved to the ground by a guy. That's a short story for you.
Oh, that's awful, mate. Bad. I'm sorry to hear about that. That's awful.
Now, Melissa, last night at the dinner party, you know, you revealed that this girlfriend on the outside that Bryce was rumoured to have and was a lot of, you know, the controversy that was going on all season. You said that you spoke to her yourself. What was that conversation? How did that go down and why did you talk to her?
I actually wanted to talk to her, you know, during the experiment as it continued to come to light, that she did reach out to me after hearing through friends and that she was being labelled a home wrecker. And she just wanted to clear the air with me. And she said that she was absolutely mortified by what was being said about her. She told me that her and Bryce had been seeing each other before the experiment began, but it ceased before the experiment started. They hadn't been in contact. And she just gave me that reassurance that I was getting from Bryce, but obviously throughout the experiment, it was constantly brought up. And she genuinely wanted to make sure that I was okay. And I just wanted to make sure she was, because I knew what was coming her way.
Mm. I'm hoping that you and Bryce have got some new friends now too, because Bryce's friends were, you know, I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Well, has that happened for you, Melissa, in terms of your friends and family? You know, they saw some toxic stuff going on and were not happy at the time. Have both of your families accepted each other?
Oh, absolutely. And our families got to know each other pretty well during the experiment, and obviously that can't be shown. But we were speaking with each other's families almost every day on FaceTime. So they got to see us as a couple, and then watching the show back, they went, "This is not how we saw you when we were interacting with you daily." So it was hard for them to stomach, actually.
That's extraordinary. I mean, speaking of hard to stomach, have you both watched the show back, and what are your thoughts while actually watching it?
Bryce is watching the show back for both of us. I did watch last night's episode because I remembered it wasn't too bad for us, but I've completely lost all faith in watching it, so it was just better for me mentally not to watch it back, and I've already lived it once.
Well, it's quite, you know, a shame if a couple is in love and they're on a show that's supposed to be promoting love and yet they're portrayed as being toxic. That seems quite counterintuitive to me.
Although, Bryce, given that you are there, like now you are watching it back, do you have some regrets about some of the conduct that you displayed?
The wording towards Melissa that I used in the beginning of the experiment, definitely. But the situations involving people like Rebecca and the blonde guy, for example, not at all.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Wow. This has gone a totally different way than I thought it would this morning, if I'm completely honest. And
well,
I can imagine,
mainly because I thought Melissa wasn't going to show. Thanks for showing up, guys. I just thought that you might get, you know, this might be a bit of a rough morning and you might be like, "I'm out now. I'm sick of this."
Well, it's been rough since the beginning, and I've done no publicity for the last few weeks. And only reason I'm doing it today is one, because I'm in love with Bryce, and I want everyone to know that. And yes, we're in a safe and healthy relationship, but I know it's coming to an end. So I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Bring on Sunday.
Bring on Sunday, indeed. Well, as you say, it is back Sunday, the final one at 7 o'clock on Channel 9. Melissa, thank you for joining us this morning. And Bryce, nice to hear from you as well, mate.
Thanks, guys. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. We've Marie Kondo'd the house, my wife and my stepdaughter and I, and Florence the dog and Turbo the cat.
And now you're just sparked with joy.
Sparked with joy. And we've got a whole lot of stuff in the garage. And on Saturday, for the first time in my brother had one and I helped, but I am running a garage sale.
Oh, dear.
And I'm nervous because I don't like people.
You don't like people. Just leave it at that.
No, I love people. I just don't like, you know, I have to host, I guess. And so what do I do? Because I want to make some money, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to be an ass about it. I don't know how much things should cost. I don't want to make rookie mistakes.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because you hear a lot of rumours about, like, you know, garage sales. I've never held one, but you do hear people going, "Oh, God, everyone rocks up at your house." You say from 10 a.m., but they're there at 6:15.
I've heard
waking
this.
You up.
Believe me, I will not
people
be.
People rummaging through your things. But you know, I think the thing is that you have to price it appropriately. It's not that you're trying to make money.
No.
It's that you're trying to get rid of things.
Yes.
Because if you think that you're in it to make money, I think you're going to come undone.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Because no one wants to pay whatever you think it's worth. You might be like, oh, but it never got used. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you bought it yesterday and you're trying to sell it today. That's still worth
3 times within an hour and a half that you've been right on point.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get the Facebook Marketplace crowd. You're going to get the low ballers. You're going to get the people coming for a bargain. I don't know. Maybe butter them up. Have you thought, what are you going to serve? Are you going to serve anything? You're going to put out some cakes?
Well, I did think about some nibbles.
Maybe some barbecue breakfast.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you?
Well, I don't know if I'll go that far. I have invited some people to come down and, you know, have a coffee. And it's true. I don't actually want to make, you know, money.
No.
I just want to get rid of some stuff that does have some value. You know, so I thought, well, we might as well do it. I mean, that's how fantastic would it be to put a barbecue on? But it'd probably end up costing me more than I'll make out of it. Edible pet CDs are not going for what they used to.
Are you going to put any of those out? I'm just curious.
No.
Some of your DVDs or no?
They're priceless, mate.
No. That's a good point.
Joanne in Bicton, good morning.
Hi.
Tell me what to do at a garage sale.
Okay, I've done so many garage sales over the years, and my best tip would be to don't put those little price labels on your items.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that it saves time and stops people asking you how much every item is. But what it actually does, in my opinion, is it puts people off. So if they see something and you've labeled it as like $5, they may instantly go, oh no, I'm not going to pay $5 for that. Whereas if there's no price label on it, if they're interested and they see it, they'll ask you, and then you know they're interested and you're more likely to sell it. Even if it's not for the $5, you're more likely to sell it, because then you can say, well, how much would you give me? And even if they say $4, you're better off. In my opinion, you're better off selling it for the $4.
What about someone like myself who might see something for $4 that I don't need but go, yeah, but it's only $4. May as well get it.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're interested, you're going to ask anyway.
True.
And Joanne, I am a weak person, a weak man.
I'll just basically say, just take it.
Just take it.
You're still, the people might turn up and recognise you, and then they're going to barter.
No, thank you, Joanne.
Jody in Gosnells, good morning to you. What's your hot tip?
Excuse me, mate. Yeah, mate, the best thing I would think, Matty, is to make people feel comfortable when they're there to begin with.
Good idea.
And if you've got a lot of books and trinkets and little bits and pieces, try and put them in batch lots, like in a box. Say $5 for this box of books.
Or like a bundle of like Lucky Dip sort of thing.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like, you know, you get a bundle when you go to Telstra, you know, you bundle up all your goods.
That's a great idea, a little gift bag.
Because I might want the vase, but I'm also going to take the book and the thing with it.
Oh.
Yeah, cool.
Good one, Jody. That's great.
All right, Maddie in East Frio, what have you got for us?
Hi, guys. My little trick is to don't let the kids be the ones putting on the price stickers on all the items, because you're not going to get the prices you want.
Why? Oh, were you the one doing the pricing, Maddie?
Yeah, my sister and I were in charge of all that. And at the stage where we thought, oh, $2 and $1 were our pocket money. So obviously, that's what everybody else expects to pay for items as well. So putting a $2 sticker on my dad's windsurfer, and then people going up, you're like, you're really selling your windsurfer for $2? And you're like, no. Happening.
Good advice, Maddie. Thank you very much.
Well, look, Maddie, I did some research for you to find some hot tips for garage sales. Don't fill the tables with useless junk.
No.
Right?
Well, okay.
Like, because, you know, it just puts people off.
Mm-hmm. Don't do clutter.
Yes. The suggestion in here was to price your items. But for, you know, as Joanne was saying, because sometimes people will ask, sometimes they won't. And bundle together in pricing areas. So if you have a table of $5 things, a table of $2 things. Things like that.
I love it, like the casino.
price it fairly, because you're pricing it to move. You're pricing to get, you want it out.
Listen to you.
Don't make people dig through stuff. They don't want to go through crates of, you know, make it really clear so it's out in front of them.
Uh-huh.
Hang clothes, don't fold them.
Yep.
Social media and local signs do work, so do that. And keep your cash box safe.
Keep your cash box safe. That's a lesson for life, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Hot tips.
Thank you, Kimber, and thank you, everyone.
Yeah, well done, everybody.
Good one.
Yeah.
I hope you have a lot of success.
Yeah, good luck, mate. Good luck. Can you get in on this?
I don't know.
I don't know this.
Dad!
Ah.
Grandma.
Bingo!
Bingo! Oh, this one, surely. Come on.
Bluey! Okay. Okay.
Yeah?
Never seen it.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Very popular cartoon. Hear a lot about it. See it on a lot of school backpacks.
Yes, a lot of school backpacks. I know it inherently well because my daughters are aged 5 and 3. So they're right in the bullseye of having watched the show as it sort of came about. And I really enjoy the show as well because it's got a lot of sort of adult undertones through it as well, even though it is a kids program.
Yeah, great.
But we may not have it anymore, guys.
Why is that?
Because they're after another one. One of Australia's most popular kids TV shows, as we've mentioned, Bluey, has come under fire for not being diverse enough today. Ooh, hey, this is killing me. One of the ABC's own, because of course this is on the ABC, journalist Beverly Wang has called out the show for its lack of representation. She asks, where are the disabled, queer, poor, gender diverse, dogs of colour and single parent dog families? My question is this, can Bluey be more representative? And yes, I'm aware that Bluey's border collie pal Mackenzie is from New Zealand.
Oh, there you go.
She wrote on the ABC's Everyday Life website.
I mean, in answer to Beverly's question, can it be more diverse? Yes.
Clearly.
Does it have to be? No.
No. It's a fiction. It's not a documentary. But again, as we always say in these conversations, we are not part of a group of people, of a demographic that are going, hey, where's my face?
Oh, yeah.
In shows and whatnot. Oh. Where's someone that looks or sounds like me?
We totally understand privilege, obviously, but it's the case of going, not everything can be for everyone.
Mm.
Like, you know, I'm absolutely go, great, put some funding into making a cartoon that covers all of these things, but contacting somebody who has already created a piece of art or created something and then gone, in fact, actually, I think you should have done it different, is kind of wasting everyone's time. Like, get on with it and make something else.
Yes.
Make what you need it to be instead of trying to transform something that already exists.
And in this day and age, it feels like you can never get it right. You could never please everyone. You could never represent everyone that you need to without someone going, hey, where was I?
Yeah. Oh, hang on. There is a show that does represent everyone, and it is a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
South Park.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So there you go. Have a run at that if you like.
He's the Whitford Junior who grew 10 centimetres at the age of 16 and then was picked up by West Perth. These days, he's the heir to Josh Kennedy's goal-kicking throne in his fourth season at the West Coast Eagles.
Alan, unbelievable!
Please welcome, part of the Mix 94.5 family in 2021, Oscar Allen.
Tomorrow night, bounce down right here, just up the road, 6:10 p.m, taking on the Pies. Oscar, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, everyone. How are we?
We're good. We'll get the telling off out the way to begin with.
Yes.
What happened last week? That was a bit...
Yeah, it was. Right. It was a bit disappointing. They played really well, and they're a team under a lot of pressure, and they probably played like a team that their season was on the line, and we didn't. So they were a bit hungrier than us. But great thing about footy, you have another game the next week. So tomorrow night against Collingwood, the old rival, will be a huge game.
Okay, you're forgiven.
Thank you.
Mate, just on that, sorry, KC, quickly before we move on from the game last weekend, how does Simo approach post-match for a game like that? Is it a... guys, I'm disappointed. Or is it a real get stuck into you boys about it?
Yeah, it depends what type of coach he is. I think consistency is really important with coaching. And Simo does it well, whereas good performances or bad performances, he's quite regulated. He doesn't get too high or too low. So after a good game, he's not saying we're the best players in the world. And after the worst game, he's not doing the opposite. So he's pretty level-headed. And I think when we listen to his interviews and watch him on TV, he does that as well, really well. I think that's what good leaders do as well. I mean, he's in charge of 45 blokes. We're obviously going to be really disappointed with how we played. We don't necessarily need someone to come in and say, you guys were shit today.
We understand you all got grounded.
Yeah.
But
yeah, absolutely. We couldn't get outside the house after 8 o'clock and didn't get our sweets after dinner either.
Now, look, I'm going to, of course, ask you a completely unrelated question to football.
Perfect.
I noticed that recently Chappelle Corby said she has a trick that she can do with her tongue. That's her party trick. And my sister-in-law can tie a knot in an Allen snake in her mouth.
Yes.
Have you got a party trick?
I did I do actually have one. It's not a great party trick. I think it would ruin the vibe of the party.
Oh.
But I got to a certain stage. I actually found this out when I was on holiday with my family in the UK, sculling too much water, and then I can regurgitate it all up to the top of a cup.
Oh, my gosh.
So I figured that out once upon a time by accident. And it came about because as I felt it coming up, I was like, better not throw up on my newly found family's carpet. It was the first time I'd met them. So I just went straight back in the cup and went all the way up to the brim and then just stopped.
Yeah, we're speaking to future captain of the West Coast Eagles, Oscar Allen. Hey, Oscar.
Look, I just want to say, sometimes Oscar, I get picked on for asking non-footy related questions. I have no regrets. No.
They're the best questions.
Thank you. I have no regrets about asking you that.
If you did that with a beer, a freshly poured beer, do you reckon you'd get it out to the point with the head out as well?
And I'm not too sure. No. I'm not too sure. Breakfast. I think a pint could hurt me. There's probably a little bit too much liquid in that. But I have seen other guys do similar things with a pint, which I won't get into.
I'll win another premiership. We'll find out at the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly right.
Hey, you were just telling me, I still can't walk past a park, and obviously I never achieved what you've achieved in the athletic world, without kind of wanting to go and have a kick. I see the grass, I see the goals, whether it be soccer, hockey, whatever. There's something very spiritual about it.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you got the captain's run today, where you just basically go out and have a kick.
Yes.
On the Optus, which would be great.
Yeah, so the day before the game, everyone's different and the club's good at acknowledging people like to do things differently. So some guys will go out and we'll have some meetings this morning, just finalising our prep for the game. And then some guys will go sprinting end to end and really get a lot out of themselves. And some other guys, like me, will just go and try and kick the coolest goal they can.
Bananas.
Yeah, a few bananas and just muck around the goals. Just doing whatever you can to feel comfortable and really go into tomorrow ready to know that you're going to perform as well as you can.
Gee, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Mate, just one more quick one. I'm sure there's Eagles fans out there that are very interested to know, how are Shannon Hearn and Luke Shuey?
Yeah, they're going well. So I actually didn't know the severity of Luke's injury. I didn't realise he was having surgery until we were actually away in Melbourne. I think we were preparing for the game and it popped up on our phones. He'd messaged a couple of us. So obviously your thoughts are with him. I think he was just a reoccurring thing. So the club took the route where they wanted to fix it long term. So he'll be out, I think, maybe until the bye. I'm not too sure. Just giving him time to get it right. And then Shannon Hearn, the old band's injury, a little calf. And in the game, he was actually equaling the club's record holder. So tomorrow he was going to break it. And I think he just wanted a bit of build-up for the next couple of weeks at Bunga.
Bit of theatre.
Yeah, bit of theatre. But I think he'll only miss a couple of weeks. It shouldn't be too serious.
Also, right. Little calf sounded cute.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. Little calf. Yeah, I want one.
All right, mate. Lovely to catch up. As always, good luck against the Pies tomorrow night. 6:10 bounce down Optus Stadium. Good on you.
No worries, guys.
Have faith.
Believe.
We must have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
I'm a little nervous this
morning.
Are you? Yes.
Why nervous?
Because the last time you guys got me with a beauty, and it's one that I should have known, was the seafood question.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you can't humiliate your colleague in this segment, what's the point of playing?
Well, what good is radio?
For those of you who don't know, Faith, what we do is we have this little pink jar here that's filled with a number of categories of sort of trivia, quiz questions, I suppose. And that's what we base it on. We draw one out of the jar and then we pick your question based on that.
Yes, and you just have to have faith or not in one of us knowing the answer to that question.
And look, if you get it right, you get yourself the prize as well. And you know what? I'm going to go a level above here, guys.
Go on.
Because I've said it out loud that every caller who makes it to air also goes into the draw for the $750 suspended Abbey Beach Resort.
They don't even need that. People love playing Faith.
They do like playing Faith. It is good fun.
It is good fun. So the prize today, if they back you and you get it right, Pete, will be $100 to spend at Miss Maud. A good call for breakfast, lunch, coffee breaks and catering. Who have we got to play with?
Well, we're just waiting at the moment.
No one's got
Here we go.
Here we go. Donna in Kelmscott, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Donna, tell us, Pete is up today. We're going to send you out of the room, Pete.
You leave now, Pete.
All right.
You go.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been wonderful, guys. Thank you.
Okay, Donna, he's walking out of the studio.
Oh, come on, speed it up, mate. We've got places to go. Donna's probably on her way to work.
All right, Donna.
I actually am.
Okay. Let's get now. This is your first time, right? So we're gonna tell you the category that the question is gonna come from, and you just need to say whether you think Pete will know the answer to a question from this category or not. The category is food and drink. Do you think Pete?
Oh yeah, you should know that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got faith in him.
Yeah.
Okay. If he gets the question correct, you'll win the prize. If he gets it wrong, you'll get nothing. All right.
Oh well.
All right,
okay, let's bring him back in. We won't tell him yet whether you have faith in him or
we'll
not.
Keep that stumm.
Welcome back, friend.
All right. How are we looking?
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Now, your category is food and drink.
Oh, okay. A category I am familiar with.
And my friend will ask a question. But do you want a little background music while you say the question?
Yes. That would be wonderful.
Can you play that for me, Pete?
Okay.
Now,
right,
Pete.
Yes.
What Swedish word is used to describe a meal with a variety of hot and cold savoury dishes that you serve yourself? What Swedish word is used to describe a meal with a variety of hot and cold savoury dishes that you serve yourself? Now, Donna. Without revealing the answer, would you know the answer to this question?
Oh.
Yes or no?
Possibly.
Oh. Possibly?
Possibly.
It's Swedish.
Swedish word.
Swedish.
For a meal with a variety of hot and cold savoury dishes. Talk us through it, Pete. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking the first word that comes to my mind is buffet.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, that's like, there's a, you know, it's hot
Donna
and
had
cold.
A giggle at that.
Yeah, you did have a giggle. Why you had a giggle?
Well,
I'm very
interested. Pronounced buffet.
All
right. You idiot.
Because obviously hot and cold dishes and you're serving them yourselves, but the Swedish thing is what's got me because I don't know that buffet or buffet
is a Swedish
word.
Maybe there are other words for buffet, Pete, that might be Swedish.
Yeah. The other thing that I don't know that this is... A la carte came into my head as well, but that's not correct. I'm sure that's not correct. I'm trying to...
Keep
remember,
going.
We want to give Donna $100 to spend at Miss Maud.
Yeah, I know, so, but if I get it wrong, she may have not got faith in me and she may get it anyway.
Yeah.
Conveniently, Miss Maud is Swedish. We didn't know when we did the question that that was the prize.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. No, here's what I'm going to lock in. Bain-Marie.
Bain-Marie is just the silver things that they put the water in.
Well, hang on. Well, I don't know. Jesus.
Let's not lock that in.
Okay, let's not lock that in.
Okay, all right.
You were on the right track going down the sort of different words for buffet, but you're just Swedish.
Klosh?
You're going to kick yourself
you
when I tell
know.
You.
I'm
you know
myself.
The word.
I know the word. This
you know
sucks.
The word. It might rhyme with Miss Maud.
Lazy Susan.
Need an answer.
It might rhyme with Miss Maud.
It might rhyme with Miss and Maud. Or just Maud.
Gee whiz.
Or Miss
Come
Maud.
On.
You're basically getting it handed to you on a platter. A buffet.
Oh, platter. No,
he's
look,
naming all
I don't
of the
know. I actually
it.
Don't know, and I hate myself for not knowing because I feel like
you're
I'm going
to
know this word, and I'm going to lock in buffet. I'm locking in buffet.
That answer is incorrect.
Of course it's incorrect.
Let's cross to Donna and see what Donna would have locked in. Donna?
What is it, Donna?
I thought it was a la carte.
I'm afraid that's not. I'd say that's French.
No, it's a smorgasbord.
No!
A smorgasbord!
I know it's a smorgasbord. I knew that. I knew it was a smorgasbord.
Oh, Donna, I guess now you just tell Pete whether or not you had faith in him.
I did have faith in him.
Oh, no. Sorry, Donna. Sorry, Donna.
See, sometimes these questions, they're harder than they seem.
Oh, well. Pete, Matt, and Jim.